Hello friends, it's Sarah and Tara here and we are back for a one-off episode of Surviving, Thriving and Diving Headfirst. That's got to be it. I almost said 69ing and then, no, it's definitely diving. Headfirst into life as adults, trying to be adults and trying to have a good time.
That was basically it, I think. We need to address the elephant in the room. Where is Lucy? We've had a horrendous friend fallout. No kidding.
To be honest with you,
Lucy, the light of our lives, we proposed we'd do this episode and Lucy was like, I don't know anything about this. I'd rather be a listener, which I really respect. However, mm-hmm. we miss you. And yes. I'm trying to get her to send a voice note on our chat so that we can play it and everyone can hear her voice. But she doesn't want to do it. I can tell. She doesn't want to do it.
She just doesn't want to be close friend of the week. And I just can't understand why.
She doesn't want to be close friend of the week. And everyone knows that is the trophy that we all want. Sad. But anyway, Tara, how are you? How long do you think it's been since we last did an episode? Like,
oh, it must be 2 years. No, like a year at least. Look, they say that podcasting is all about frequency, right? And if we just do one episode a year, that's technically frequency, right? I reckon it could work.
That is consistency. That is, do you remember we had this one meeting with Spotify where they were like, if you're going to do this, the one thing you need to do is put it out weekly. You need to do that regularly. You definitely can't be doing seasons and you definitely can't be fucking around. Anyway, here we are 1 year later.
We basically do this for us and love that you guys listen along every now and then as well. But yeah, hi, this is our yearly close friends episode. I am good. I'm happy that the sun is out. I've just moved flats and got rid of all the boxes. I had a sofa hoisted in through my window today, which was you're an adult when that kind of shit is so exciting. I was like, oh my god, this is fucking cool.
I saw the video. Why it went so fast. Was that sped up?
No, it wasn't. It's Sam's video and he showed it to me and he goes, it looks like it's on like double time. I was like, it does.
It's so
I'm gonna
fast.
Have to share it publicly.
You need to put it on the close friends Instagram. I have to crank that open. Also, side note, sorry, another thing to tell everyone is that periodically, more frequently than we do an episode, we get requests from random people into the close friends Instagram DMs or into our own DMs saying, hi, can we buy this handle? And our response every time is, yes, for £10,000. And so far, surprisingly, so no one has bitten, which is interesting.
Didn't the last guy say, haha, very funny? Or like, is this a joke or something? We're such bitches. But it's a good handle.
Trying to hustle.
It's not dead yet. Like, it's not going for any less than 10 grand. We know our worth.
Guys, if that happens, if we sell for 10 grand, every one of you gets a share of that profit if that happens.
Yes, I love it.
But anyway, okay, so you had the sofa delivered. I saw that was wonderful. And you've moved flat, but you're still in Camden in London, right?
Still in Camden. Yeah, nothing much else to... Oh, yeah, I finally work in a sex-related industry, and I'm really happy about that. That's a new thing as well. Well, it's kind of 2 months old now. But I spend my days basically thinking and talking and creating things about sex. And Sarah will know this.
Yeah, I know.
Sarah will know this because we share a Canva account, which was all fine when all I used to do was like talk about periods every now and then. There'd be like a pair of pants in the images. But now, Sarah, do you want to tell everyone what's
Canva? If you're not on the Canva train, Canva is like a graphic design tool. I don't know. You don't need to be a graphic designer to use it. It's like super easy entry level graphic design. We love it. We make anything and everything on there. So I use it for all my presentations and my slides, like for work, which is a PhD in computer mm-hmm. information science, and I log in to make these slides of like boring graphs and things, and in the content you've uploaded section is literally naked, like genitalia, like naked people. And I'm not even, it's not even like, you know, naked photo shoot. I'm talking like one of them was a graphic, full frontal genitalia photo that Tara had been uploading.
Technically.
And I had to run the presentations from this software. So I have to open it up at the beginning of meetings and stuff. And I'm always like, oh my God, like one day this is going to happen.
Oh, that's even funnier. I didn't realize you had to actually present from there. Yes. That's excellent. Excellent. By the way, it wasn't a photograph. It's actually a piece of art. Someone has painted that.
Oh my God.
Tell me that's a bit cool.
It was, this is a testament to the artist because it's so lifelike. I was literally like, and the other thing, so this is what we will be talking about later is, you know, like some of the things I work in is like, you know, non-consensual online porn, that kind of thing. So when I'm seeing the irony of me about to do a presentation on that and I'm opening up and I'm like, oh, sorry, just mind the vagina on the screen.
So good. Brilliant. How are you, Sarah? Can we drop the boyfriend yet? Or
Lucy Mountain. I feel like every time we say Lucy's name, we need to like reference, like, rest her soul or something.
Yeah. R.I.P. Lucy Mountain, R.I.P. She is alive.
Rest in podcast heaven. Which is probably what we should have done. But anyway, she has a joke that we only put out an episode when one of us has some sort of significant romantic update. So last year it was me having a breakup. This year, yeah, maybe this is it because I have a boyfriend. Yeah.
Yeah. And Lucy has a boyfriend as well, right? So it's good news all round.
No. I don't know if that's a thing. We can't put this out there.
Oh, fuck. Okay, well, we'll run it by her before it goes up. Well, you know what? Also, this could be the test to see if she's actually listened to the episode or not. Like, she says she has. Sorry, but... Okay, don't quote us on this. Lucy may or may not be seeing someone.
We fucking soft launched her relationship to the world as a punishment for not listening and not joining us on this podcast and everything.
I think that's so legit.
Oh my God. Okay, if this makes it into the episode and this section is in there, then wow, what a miracle. Anyway, yeah, I do. He's wonderful and lovely, and I'm very happy. Very happy. Yay, and then I'm just completing my first year PhD at Berkeley. I've now lived in the States for nearly 3 years, which is crazy. Feels like it was a long time ago that we were all back in London recording this in person.
It's a weird one. It feels like you've been there forever, weirdly, in a weird way. But also feels like you left yesterday. I can't really, yeah, it's weird.
It is weird. And it's because I say trash now.
You do not.
I know.
No.
You know this.
What?
Yeah. Tara and I recently had a trip. It was like a couple of months ago. Tara came to Colorado, Denver, Colorado, which is a state that's, I guess, near to California-ish. And I suppose I was I feel like I knew all the American ways and I could show you. I could be your tour guide in some sense. That was fun. We went on a little, we were at a big show, I guess. What would you call it?
Yeah. Concert.
We're at a concert. We're at a fucking rave.
Yes.
On the weekend. And then we spent a day going to the Rocky Mountains. And it was literally with our friend Scott. Shout out to Scott, who's definitely not going to be listening because he's a man. But the two of us had all these photos, Tara and I, where it's like we're on our honeymoon. We're just so happy being in nature. And it's like the two of us like cuddling in the back of a truck. Sweet. I love that. But yeah, other than that, what's going on for me? Not a lot, to be honest. I think we should probably introduce today's topic and also why we're doing this and why we thought it was a good enough reason to crack out an episode of Close Friends, which I'm still not convinced it is, actually, but let's see if anyone listens.
I think it is. As someone who doesn't really know that much about it either, like Lucy said, I think it's really important that we do this because I don't think anyone listening, or maybe if you do know a little bit about this, there'll be things you don't know that Sarah, our resident expert, can answer, which is bloody awesome. So I'm really happy about this.
Yes. So let me do a quick introduction. So today we have decided we want to be talking about deep fakes and a little bit about AI. And this is an episode that I think we should name Deep Fakes for the Girlies, or AI for the Girlies, because there's a lot of noise and hype out there at the moment, especially this year, about the dangers of AI, and in particular deepfake imagery, and how they can be really harmful to women in particular. And this is something that I work on every single day in my job as a researcher at Berkeley. And it's something that now Tara is coming across as well. And I'm seeing so many different cases of this popping up around friends, around people that I know, people that I work with. And actually, this is something that we need to prepare for as a problem, I guess, moving into the future. So before I introduce like what a deepfake is or whatever, Tara, I want you to tell me how you came across this subject and what you know so far.
I mean, some of it from you, obviously, because I take an interest in what you're up to, even though I don't know anything other than what's on the surface of it. But also, I guess, the news and the internet generally. Like, there are people talking about it, especially in the sort of feminist circles of like what's okay and what's not okay. And then recently, I don't know how I came across this, but I came across something, and then somebody then sent me a Facebook group of like 200,000 people where they would just, people, mostly men, probably all men, they would just type into this Facebook group, oh, can I have one of Emma Watson, or can I have one of this girl, or can I have one of whatever? Ugh. And somebody would generate a naked or semi-naked or some sort of sexy body with Emma Watson's face on it, and usually about 12 toes or fingers or something alongside it, which is quite a good way to tell that it's fake. Mm-hmm. But it was just really gross. There are big communities of people out there who are doing this already, and it's blown my mind a little bit.
That's crazy. I actually haven't been in the Facebook group doing that. I know these kinds of things exist, like on Facebook and elsewhere. Actually, wild that it's on Facebook, to be honest.
Right.
It's the kind of shit I'd expect from like 4chan, maybe even Reddit in some places, but like that's disappointing. But yeah, okay, so what we're alluding to here is deepfake, non-consensual deepfake imagery. And a deepfake is basically a computer-generated image that isn't real, where you can put someone's likeness onto another scene or another person to make it look like it's them. And the issue we're facing this year is that these things are now at a point where they are good and they're easy. So previously, Photoshop's existed since God knows how to, decades, right? So if you have the skill and the time, you could probably create an image of someone if you wanted to target them for like extortion or manipulation or whatever it might be. You could make non-consensual imagery of someone. And yes, often in these problematic cases, it is like pornographic, right? So you could make that of people on Photoshop, and it would take you a while. You'd have to be very specialized, and generally it wasn't that easy to do. Now, these tools such as DALL-E from OpenAI, or Midjourney, or any of these other generative AI tools, especially the ones that aren't regulated, like owned by a big company, you know, the ones that are like small open source models that people have just stood up online and released to the world. These allow you to generate images from nothing, just from a text prompt of something that you want. So that would be like, you know, I say I want a pornographic image of this kind, and then I input, like you said, the person, the name of the person or whatever, Emma Watson, and most famously, a couple of months ago, Taylor Swift. So did you ever see the Taylor Swift images?
No, I didn't. What are they like? Did you see, you saw them,
I
see?
Yeah, I have seen it. It burned into my mind. There's something really weird about it, because I feel like, you know, lots of people have seen, we've all seen like what a pornographic image looks like. We've all seen what porn looks like. But it is something really, even though you know it's not real, seeing Taylor's face on it is really uncomfortable. It feels very real. And to be honest, the images that circulate and the ones I've seen are quite like, they're hyper real. Like, they are hyper realistic, but they are kind of like cartoony, like they don't look fully like a photo, and they're very sort of like polished, and that's just the way that these tools tend to generate images at the moment. And it depends on like the data that was used to train the AI, so it probably wasn't trained on like it wasn't trained on those sorts of images perhaps, but well actually no, it probably was, but it has a lot images in there that kind of like change the output, that make it look like a little bit more cartoony rather than like a real photo.
Yeah, maybe explain how the AI tools work for the girlies.
For the girlies, it's actually really simple. The process of going and doing it is not that simple, but and that's what tech bros want you to believe. But actually, the concept of it is very simple. If you have a model that kind of knows nothing but is ready to learn some stuff about the world, you give it millions of images as input that are labeled, and you just give it like the whole internet. And this is how like ChatGPT was trained, which is like the chat bot from OpenAI. So that's like the text version of this. But if you give a similar model just like millions and millions and millions of images, then it learns the features of those images. It learns what a dog is. It learns what a cat is. It learns what porn is, I guess. And it's able to recreate those images based on what it's seen before, but also recreate new images because it's seen kind of similar in its training data. And that process of training that model is actually really involved, and that is complicated. But at the basic level, these things are just regurgitating things that they've already seen. So that's why they have limitations as well. But yes, so they often come out with like these kind of artifacts, as you said, Tara, like they'll randomly generate like people with six fingers or like 10 toes on one foot, that kind of thing. And that's because the way the AI is evaluating whether it's produced a good image or not is that it's looking at the image and saying, ah, does this vaguely resemble Taylor Swift in a pornographic image, yes or no? And it does that like a bunch of times until it gets to a point where it's like, yes, this is looking good, like I've iterated on it enough, this looks good. But it's not looking at specifically the number, the small things that a human would notice. It's not looking at that. It's looking at the scene overall and just saying like, oh yeah, vaguely this looks like what I've seen on the internet before. Another good telltale sign is text. So there were these fake images that went round of Joe Biden here in the States, of him in this like military getup that was being used as like, I guess, propaganda regarding Gaza, actually. This was like a couple of months ago. And it has him in military uniform, kind of trying to imply that like the US are ready to strike or like take action, military, whatever. But if you look at his like uniform, where there should be the US emblem or where there should be like text, it's just like gibberish. And that's because, again, the AI is not really looking at these small details. It's just kind of saying overall the scene looks like it makes sense. So yeah, these are the kind of things I've been thinking about.
So scary. I think this, the scariest thing for me is less the imagery, because it's quite, also I feel like, and I don't know if this is just me, but I don't trust imagery anyway. I don't trust what I see online, on billboards, on anything. I haven't trusted it for quite a long time, but video, that's where it gets really, really scary. I'm like, how on earth, like what are you then supposed to, and then voice as well. How are you supposed to trust anything that anybody is saying?
So right. Yeah. This is the other thing that's changed, I think, in the last like 2 years, is that it's not just images. Now you can create a video in this way that is like literally one click of a button. And voice is actually where I've been doing most of my work recently, because my work is building algorithms and methods that will like detect whether something's real or fake, even when it looks real. And we do a lot of other stuff around that. But fundamentally, that's what it is. And voice is so good. Voice is so good. Voice has surpassed video and image, even though it's newer. And now you can pay $5, get an app, clone anyone's voice. And these companies, you know, maybe one or two are putting some effort into kind of building in protections, but most of them aren't. You can just clone anyone's voice, tick a box that says, yeah, I've got their permission. And then you can get it to say anything. And it sounds so good. It sounds so good. It's terrifying. Yeah, I know. So I wonder if I have one. I'll see if I have one of... we should try and clone your voice, actually. I should see if I can do it.
God.
But it struggles. It can struggle so with. I know it struggles with British accents sometimes.
Okay.
I think fundamentally it's like an American model underneath it, so it tries to make me sound like American or Australian. But yeah.
Right.
So that's voice, but then video as well. You can do. You can like swap someone's face onto another body. Just by using, like, you have the video of what you want to put them in, and then just one photo, like, I could screenshot you right now on this, recording, and just upload that, and it will do it, and it will just map your face onto that scene. So you can imagine you can just create anything in, like, seconds.
It's so crazy. Mm-hmm. So crazy. That one that you did of you in that video of AOC is so good. Like, I remember just seeing that thinking, this is mental.
My lab mate Gotham did that, and he didn't have to spend that much time on it. He literally just shoved a photo of me in, and then the video of AOC, it just got stitched on, and it's just really, like, it's really convincing. It's just you can't really see any artifacts, like, yeah. So then it's like, okay, well, if this is happening, that's nice, but like, is it something we need to worry about? And I think, like, there are a few different ways you can worry. So part one is like fraud, identity theft, all of that kind of thing. It's less important for image and video, but for voice, it's really, really scary, because a lot of like banks, for example, do biometric verification now, and you can bypass them by cloning your voice. So you can just get in to someone's account, you know, if you know a certain other number of like security measures as well. And then there's also this scam where like people will call you, especially here in the US, you'll get a call that's like, hey it's me, it's Tara, I'm in danger, and it sounds like you, so I'd be like, oh, what's wrong? And you're like, oh, I've been in an accident, I need you to wire me $10,000. And then people do it because they prey on older people. And also, to be honest, like, you're not expecting it to be an AI voice clone, are you? You'd probably be like, oh, fuck, Tara's in danger. Like, I'm going to help. So that's another scam. So there's loads of like just scammy things, right? That's problem number one. Problem number two is revenge porn, deepfake, non-consensual pornographic imagery. Terrifying. And then the third part is democracy. So we move, this year we are moving through a year where over half the world's population are voting in a democratic process, and it's the biggest election year in democratic history, I think. So with that in mind, access to truthful, real, timely and accurate information is very important. So now we're seeing misinformation in the form of deepfakes popping up, trying to confuse everyone, trying to get them not to vote.
Oh, that makes me so angry. I feel like that one, it was there a few years ago, just not in deepfakes. People have very influenced by all sorts of things. And previously it was the media saying whatever the hell they wanted, controlled by, whoever it was. And now we're all able to do this with each other, and there's just so much more of it because everyone can create fake stuff and fake narratives and all the rest of it. I see it a lot. I'll see a story on social media that's a news story, and I'll see one side saying one thing and the other side saying the complete opposite, and both looking incredibly real in the images that they're sharing and whatever it is that they're putting out there. And that's really quite scary. But I think you've always been able to, confirmation bias, you've always been able to find what you want to hear on the internet. Yeah. Or maybe that's, kind of more recent, but that's been around for a bit longer, even though, yeah, it is incredibly scary. The porn thing is so horrible because of the non-consensual nature of it all. But I've been thinking about this quite a lot. Will it, at some point, if this becomes so easily accessible and we can basically all be turned into fucking porn stars on the internet, right? Will it become less taboo in a way?
Yeah.
Will we all just be able to say, you know what, fucking everybody, you could literally find a video of anybody doing this. Like, so what? Who cares anymore? I mean, we've all seen the quotes and memes and things about, you know, women running for president now, and we've sent too many nudes to ex-boyfriends and whatever. Like, there'll be stuff circulating about us because of the internet. Maybe having this technology will actually help. God, yeah. Maybe that's wishful thinking.
No, I think that's like exactly where I am with all of this as well, because you can look at this as being like, oh my God, society's doomed. Nothing is real anymore. You know, we're going to crash and burn. Or you can look at it in a way where it's like, okay, we need to start critically examining what we see and not just immediately like sensationalizing it. And I noticed this in the States versus the UK. In the UK, we are so like, we're so big on like canceling politicians, for example, yeah, or like canceling public figures based on their personal lives. And like, don't get me wrong, a lot of them deserve it. And cancel culture is a whole other thing. But they are more forgiving here in the States. They're more forgiving. And like, let's look at an example of Donald Trump, who says shit great all the time, lies blatantly, you know, just has very questionable personal ethics, but is still revered and is still, you know, in the running to be the most powerful man in the world. So anyway, so I agree with you that there is actually hope in this situation, in that we can foster a culture in society where we are questioning what we see. And we're also just a little bit more forgiving of people in these situations. And like an example that you gave that I like is like around the nudes, for example. So, you know, it's very common now. I think many, many young women and young men, of course, but young women are typically disproportionately affected by doing this, have sent nudes, and you know, one day they might not take a career decision or decide to be someone who is in the public eye because they know that they've done that in the past, or maybe they've circulated or whatever it is. It just means that they have power being held over them. And actually, if we could get to a world where it's like, well, anyone could create that, and you know, it could be fake, it could be real, no one really knows, like maybe that sort of decreases the value of like a nude, yeah, and decreases that power imbalance, which I think, yeah, that's a really important and good place to be. And similarly for like, you know, everyone who's like, oh, I could never go into you know, maybe this is why we don't have many good politicians. Lots of people are like, oh, I could never go into public office because there's photos of me drinking a WKD on Facebook in 2010. It's like,
that's like, such a good point.
Yeah, we can't live in that world.
No, but our parents used to make us like change our Facebook names when we were applying for jobs and stuff so that they couldn't like look us up. So like archaic, really, when you think about it. But this is the new that, isn't it? It's like people will search you, or something will circulate or something. It's just silly. It's silly. And this might make people realize. And yeah, what you said about decreasing the value of it. Yeah, it's like they're everywhere. Everyone's got one. It's fine. The problem as well, on the other side, is it could derail the careers of some sex workers, because if you're charging for your OnlyFans and people, but then people could leak your own stuff anyway, right?
Oh, that's interesting. Do you think that's a real risk?
I don't know. I mean, I guess if you wanted to just, yeah, like if something was expensive and you didn't want to pay for it, you could just essentially make it yourself with a photo of someone's face and exactly what you wanted them to do, right? And maybe that will take away from platforms like OnlyFans, where, you know, creators are making quite a lot of money, maybe. But I don't know. On the grand scale of things,
I would love to get a, like, genuinely get a porn star's view on what it would mean to have like widespread deep fake imagery. And because there is also an argument for being like, they can consensually create their own content that is artificial but still like produces value and is still their likeness, and put that out there instead of doing the acts. And I don't know how that would sit with like porn stars and sex workers. And whether that's like such an appealing idea or not, or if that takes away the whole value of, like, you know, what they do. But I don't know.
Maybe
you
could argue both ways. Maybe it's, yeah, something that you didn't want to do that's been, like, really highly requested. And you're like, all right, well, here's my face and it's somebody else doing it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. Or very soon it'll just be like, you can create a video just from, like, a text prompt. So you could just create something with your face in it and sell that instead. I don't know. That's like, you know, there's like a load of AI generated art now. It's kind of similar to that in a way. Like, it's still art. It wasn't painted by you. Like, you weren't holding the paintbrush, but at the same time you engineered, you wrote the text to produce that. You, I guess, tuned the model a little bit, although not really. And you can sell that, and that's art. I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. I was going to ask you about, like, you know, graphic designers and things like that. Do they have to, and also copywriters with ChatGPT and stuff, do they have to worry? I mean, I just do everything on ChatGPT now. Sometimes my emails, my Instagram captions, literally everything. I don't think I would hire a copywriter for a project anymore. And that's quite scary.
That is kind of the sad reality. There are some... there are some, like, professions that are going to be fundamentally changed by this. And I think it's not, it's just a case of it's a different value of what they add. Like, now a copywriter will be adding value in some of the different, like, some of the more peripheral ways to what we would initially be working with them for. But yeah, I'm exactly the same. Like, I lean on ChatGPT so hard. It's just like having, like, an amazingly good assistant or intern. Like, just if you got, there's like so many tasks that I do that just like are just admin, like I just need something written up, like from my notes, you know, and I can just throw it in there and it's done. Like, it saves so much time, and that's amazing. But there's always going to be, I mean, like, it also writes incredible code, which is funny because, you know, typically when you think of like, oh, AI is taking our jobs, you're like, oh, maybe it's going to be more manual jobs, like on a factory floor or whatever it is. But actually, it's coming for like the white collar workforce. It's coming for the software engineers.
Yeah.
It's coming for me. But I embrace it. I'm like, it's just changing what my job is. Like, my job used to be a lot of like spending a lot of time having to write out very sort of tedious lines of code, and now I can at least outsource those to ChatGPT and then like focus on the interesting parts of my job, which is great. But
important. I think that's something to stress, that, like, you know, if anybody listening is actually genuinely worried for their job, like, we're you know, society's ever changing and constantly evolving, and, you know, shit happens. But also there's a nice way to spin it and look at it in a different way of, okay, this is opportunity to focus in on what else there is around your job that you love, or, you know, just switching things up a little bit and staying ahead of the curve, I guess, right?
Exactly. Yeah, like, I'm optimistic. I think AI, like, people love to be like, AI is like the robots taking over the world, and, like, don't get me wrong, that is one valid vision. But right now, what the only, like, threat that AI brings right now is it just superpowers people, humans, to do really dumb things. And that so, like, it's kind of the people, as per every fucking challenge in the history of everything, it's the people we need to be worrying about, not the technology. But, you know, having said that, I am still optimistic. I think at the moment, like, deepfakes is probably the biggest threat that AI poses, that is, like, something that is happening now. And there are all sorts of existential worries about AI as well, in terms of, like, if we don't train them properly, or if we, you know, the big companies who produce AI models such as OpenAI don't put, like, guardrails around them, then you could have someone sitting in their bedroom asking ChatGPT, how do you create a nuclear weapon, and it can tell them, and then we have all sorts of problems. But those sorts of issues are being relatively well handled at the moment. It's more this misinformation crisis that's going to be our problem for the next year or so, and then we'll see what happens. There's going to be a new problem emerge. But, like, at the moment, it's just an extension of human capability that, like, you know, enables, if people really want to misuse it, they can. But that's, is that any different to like the internet, for example, social media, yeah. every other technological innovation yeah. we've had for the last like 25, even 50 years?
I think the problem with deepfakes in particular is that I just don't see any good coming from deep faking imagery and videos. Like, I guess the only thing maybe is like fashion brands who want to do shoots and things with their new collections. But even that, it's like, they don't have to do anything anymore. You don't have to hire the teams yeah. that you used to have to hire to create an amazing concept and whatever. So I just don't see literally any good coming yep. from that.
Do you remember that that racing team that had, it was a couple of months ago, like a bunch of our friends shared it who were like in Formula One, Formula One adjacent, etc. They, this racing team, I can't remember which one, but they were like, oh, we're announcing our new female yeah. AI influencer, like meet yeah. whatever her name is. And it was so tone deaf. Literally every, I mean, every woman in the industry, or every woman in motorsport seeing that was like, so you didn't pay a salary to a fuck, you didn't pay a salary to an already underrepresented minority in the sport. Instead, you just created an AI influencer and the audacity to make her be female. Like, what the fuck?
It's so typical, isn't it? I mean, it's actually, that is such a good, like, what's the word? Like a snapshot of what the world is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. we want something that we don't have to pay, that doesn't talk back, we can get it to do exactly what we want it to do. It's also really cute and pretty. Perfect. Perfect. Here we go. And didn't think anything of it. Can you imagine how many people that went through and not a single person said, do you think someone's not going to like this?
Yeah. What's happening at the company being
baffles
like...
Baffles me.
Sounds like a good idea. It sounds like the women of motorsport will love yeah. this. I don't know. It's scary though, isn't it? And like, what, I mean, what, yeah. what? That's like interesting because that's like a completely fabricated person. But like, what I'm seeing is, and actually, I don't think Sophie Milner will mind me mentioning her. Shout out to Sophie, who's also definitely not going to be listening. should we soft launch something for her as well? Just
could do.
Leak some info. So Sophie recently shared in her stories a like random product commercial that was using her voice and her face. But it was completely fake. It was like, I use these overnight curlers that are like shipped in from China or something. I don't know. But it was like, it was a really good clone of her voice. Like it sounded
shit. I didn't
so
see
good.
That.
Did you not see it?
No.
I'm in the DMs insane. About this. And Sophie was saying, yeah. I get a lot of these through. And they're like, I don't know what they're doing. I think they, for the video, they had got like footage of Sophie, but they'd like, they'd sort of chopped it up in a way that made it look like it was for the commercial, but it wasn't. Oh, it was just like something horrible. From her stories. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I'll have to text her and like get an official quote on this, but she didn't, it wasn't like, I don't think it was traumatizing. It was more just like, what the fuck are they doing? Because it was yeah, like kind of bad also, quality.
Yeah. Well, the problem is it's your reputation that's on the line at that point,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's
so if you've got lots of stuff on the internet, people can do whatever the hell they want to. It's like the big brands that copy all the small brands, you know, pretty yeah. clothing items and whatever. And then Lucy, that one time, remember she made something and then a big brand copied it and were dickheads about it. And it's like, the problem is that there's no regulation around this stuff at all. Yeah. Is there? I mean, and there's also nothing the small fry can do. The big company is going to come in and do whatever they want. Or this random company in China is going to use your footage. And there's technically, like, what the hell are you going to do about it? And it could be for something. I mean, it could have been a product that's like, you know, not great, like a penis enlargement pill or some shit, like
yeah,
something horrible,
yeah.
you know, like it could have been something really ugly and horrible that you just do not want to be associated with. So I don't know. And like people can get in trouble about that. If you're in, I don't know, some sort of country where you've got, where things are illegal, then it's a problem, right?
Yeah, I think so. And It's really interesting because it's like, well, what can you do about it? So that we were just talking about this before the pod, right? There are a few laws in the States. I know there's a law, I think there's a related law in India as well. I'm not sure what the UK status is, but there are these laws that will protect broadly from deepfake imagery in some sense, but they're very vaguely worded. And the reality is, the damage is done. The damage is done. Like,
yeah, exactly.
If your fake, like, fake Tara has been, which has proliferated on the internet and is selling like breast enlargement pills and supplements, then what fake Tara would be selling is David Guetta tickets. That's how you know.
Thank you. That's oh my god, I'd track them like... down and I'd literally kill them.
You'd be like, oh my god, it's a fake immediately. But
yeah,
once that reputational damage has been done, it's done. And that this is like an unfortunate thing in the way that society works, and certainly in terms of the reputation of women. And there is research on this. I can't be bothered to dig it out right now, but it is shown that this reputational damage hangs around a bit longer for women than maybe it does for men in a lot of like political scenarios and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So once that damage is done, like, it doesn't matter if there was a law, kind of. That's a very bad thing to say. Of course, well, having a law matters and it's very helpful, but at the same time,
it's important. Need to
have protections that aren't the law as well.
Yeah. Like, it might put some people off doing it, maybe.
Yeah. But,
I mean, if you look at all the other laws that are supposed to protect people, especially women, you know, some of the sexual assault laws that we have in the UK, and the fact that, like, 2% of it goes to trial and, you know, some sort of percentage of that get convicted. It's like, it's not actually putting anyone off. It's not gonna... What are you, like, going through the whole process just for them to be like, this is dumb, get out of my courtroom, like... I don't know. I don't trust the legal system to help, even if there is a law, which is pretty bad, really. It should be up to these companies who are creating these tools to safeguard people, but they just don't really tend to give a shit. And the problem is that the tools can be made by people who are really mean and evil and don't really, really don't care.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And like, so you have OpenAI, who are like the leading company creating like the best AI models out there. So they have ChatGPT and then like the image ones that we've spoken about. They're pretty good, in as good as you can be, given that you're unleashing something incredibly powerful to the general public. But then you've got, like, you know, Elon Musk is one of their founding partners. So the question you then come up against is like, would you rather this, you know, weapon, this like huge, incredibly powerful technology be in the hands of Elon Musk and lots of people are like, ah, that's not great, or in the hands of the public, and then you're like, oh, that sounds better, but then the public involves random weirdos in their bedroom who can like create a nuclear bomb using it. So then you're like, I don't know who I trust, like. And the same thing if, like, you know, obviously Zuck's got in on it as well. So like, all of these tech companies have their own AI models now. Like, Google has one. Meta have got their own, like, whoever it is, they've got one. And, you know, it's the same question. It's like, well, I don't like the idea of, like, you know, white male tech bro having all of this power. But at the same time, what's the alternative right now? Like, you can't just let it be open source and be like completely running free in the public, because even we're not qualified to know what it's capable of or what it can do. Policymakers are trying to keep up. I don't know.
These powerful people are just not the sort of people that you want having this technology, but then also they are the most powerful some of the most powerful people in the world, and that's a larger problem in itself, hey? Anyway.
Yeah, it's a mess, but I don't know. Maybe we should create an AI model and put it out there. And
girlies.ai.
Girlies.ai. Yeah, yeah.
I like it. Yeah. And it's just for the girls, and it's actually nice, and like, you can't do anything bad, and it's just helpful and cool and girly, and I like it.
Yeah. And you can ask it like big questions, and it'll be like, oh, you don't need to worry about that. You're just a girl.
and then you can ask it, shall I dump my boyfriend, he's done XYZ, and it will just say yes.
It's just like, yes,
like, yes, like now. Yes, immediately.
Yeah. What have you been seeing, because you put up a bunch of stories about this, like, what have you been seeing in the world of, also because you're a big time influencer now. Like, the growth that you've had in the last couple of years is crazy. Like, you've just put out such good, like, feminist activist content. What have you been seeing, like, concerns from people in your DMs and in your replies?
Actually, I must admit, I haven't. There's not much about it. If I choose to talk about it, sometimes I'll get, oh my God, this is scary, or I'll get a few people sending me stuff that they've kind of stumbled across. Mm-hmm. But it's like all this stuff is still quite new and quite low-key and underground, which sucks because I want to go and find it and see it and raise awareness, but they're getting good at being sneaky, these people doing bad shit, aren't they? So,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. There's nothing... Yeah, other than this Taylor Swift thing, which I did sort of hear about, I think, but didn't see the images. Yeah, that's a big one though.
Yeah, that and I mean we should talk about the Kate Middleton picture as well.
Oh God, so yeah, I forgot about that.
Obviously, it's not explicit, but similar in that. I mean, if you didn't see this, you're literally living under a rock. But this is. Princess of Wales, Kate Middleton, obviously has been underground for a few months, so there's already conspiracy theories floating around, and then she uploads a picture to her Instagram that is clearly edited, altered, shall we say, like not just light editing, you know, not just a filter, but like there's like two cuffs on her coat, the hands don't match, there's like misalignments in fabric, like it looks like it's been
did they figure out what it was that she'd done or not, or we just what happened?
There's a BBC article in which my boss is quoted, Professor Hanif Reid. He's like a image forensics expert, and he said it's a Photoshop job, so it's not AI. So this is what's really interesting about it, right? This is where it's proof. You don't even need deepfakes. You don't need like CGI level of imagery or video to convince people that something is real.
Yeah,
you can just set a very fertile ground of conspiracy and unrest and curiosity, then drop in an image that's been minorly altered, and people go wild. People go absolutely wild. People saying she's not there. It's a completely fake photo. It's all been created by AI. Like, and it's like, you know, the evidence just isn't there. Yeah, which is crazy. And then, you know, the video of her coming out with the terrible news that she's sick, and people then still not believing that video because of this fertile ground that's been laid of being like, this isn't like, things aren't real. We can't trust the establishment. Like the things we're seeing don't present reality. And that's like really, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's the other side of it, isn't it? It's just like you won't believe stuff that is actually real because the fakes are so good. It's like, well, what do you... Yeah, it's really terrifying. I don't know what to believe anymore, and it's pretty bad because then I stop reading stuff and I stop watching stuff and I kind of disconnect a little bit because I feel like I'm being lied to all the time, and I don't know how to deal with that.
Yeah, that's bad. And you know what, that's not the fault of like deep fakes or AI, that's the fault of like politics and the media have such a big role to play in all of this. Really, the media are the ones who can be setting the record straight. But like, the other thing I see is like, now when I'm reading a news article or even if I'm listening to a news podcast, there's so many revisions. Like every article I read will have some sort of revision where it's like, oh, we got this wrong, or like this has been fact checked since and it's actually like we got the name wrong or whatever it is. And it's like, I know the media just like, they're trying to keep up with the speed of which information is passed around online, but like trust is eroding in all of our institutions.
Absolutely, that's quite a slippery slope, isn't it? They can say whatever they want and then just edit it after and say, oh sorry, we got it wrong, like what? I don't like that at all. And then also, I had this actually a few days ago, one of my friends said, oh, I got this article published, and he was showing it to me, and he was like, oh my God, they've changed it. And
what?
I was like, oh God, that's not good. He was like, yeah, they've actually removed some of the words that were in there and like changed some of it so that it's like less aggressive.
Oh, that's bad.
That was quite wild.
Without telling him, that's bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's something that he'd commissioned as well, and he'd like, you know, not good.
Yeah, this is where it's like, it's not... Yeah, AI and deepfakes and whatever is scary, but they're actually just kind of like... masking
tools.
Tools to make these problems worse, and they're also masking like a lot of the root causes of these issues, which is that we just don't know what to trust anymore. And we're about to like move into in both of these countries, the UK and the US, we're about to move into elections, right?
It's absolutely mental.
It's like it's all happening here. November is going to be a very, very big month, and like, yeah, as we're speaking, Donald Trump is in, is on trial right now.
Court.
I think.
So. Yeah, crazy. He is. Yeah, that's insane. God, he's gonna get away with it as well, isn't he? I hate him so much.
Yeah, but this is like
country's so flawed.
Yeah. Do you know what though? So is the UK. Like they all are.
I know.
This is the conclusion.
So everything. All of us. Yeah. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
We have some of the same
right.
problems.
There's no good place to be anywhere. Yeah.
Kind of, yeah. Unless you're
anyway, this is really morbid.
Yeah.
We've gone from, I don't, okay, so what's the moral of the story here? I don't know.
So, you know, there are these things to be aware of that we're going to be seeing more of, like visual misinformation and, you know, raising awareness of like scams and fraud because of these deepfakes is really important. But on the whole, I want everyone to be optimistic about AI. It's here to make our lives better and easier, and there's all sorts of nice fun things you can do with it that don't involve creating deepfakes. And I think we should also bring back our quick fire round, even though there's only two of us.
Oh God, wait, I didn't have the time to prepare a question. I could have said this like at the beginning.
I know, I only just thought of it. As if there was any planning going into this. I will give you 10 seconds to think of one, because I need to think of one as well.
Yeah, okay. 10 seconds is good.
I think I know.
Okay.
You have one?
I've got one.
Okay. Do you want to go first?
Yes. Okay. Right. I will do the 3, 2, 1 after I say the question, right?
Yeah. Okay. We'll both go. We'll both say it. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, mine is kind of more specific. You know what? No, I can do it. Okay. Would you ever make a deep fake porn video of someone, even if it was for work? 3, 2, 1. No. Yes, you would. I can fucking see you saying yes.
No. No.
Okay,
we'll come back to that one. Mine was gonna be, okay, if it came to your attention there was a deep fake of you, a non-consensual deep fake of you on the internet, would you go to the police? 3, 2, 1.
Yes.
I think, I don't know. I'd probably say yes, but in a very unhopeful way. Anyway, sorry, not allowed to debrief.
Oh, okay. Well, we can debrief now because we've done the questions, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the first one because that was funny.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said, when you said for work, like as in if someone asked me to create them one. Like if a porn star approached me and was like, hey, I really want to experiment with AI technology, could you help me? I would be caught off guard because it, you know, if it's consensual, is it ethical? It's like, 9 in the morning here, I don't know. On the whole, the answer answer would be no. But, you know, okay, if someone came to me and they were like, this is really important for my career and I don't have the skills,
it's consensual and if it's their face that you're doing and they've asked you for it, then that's a slightly different scenario than someone on your team being like, we want to experiment with this, will you make it?
No. No, also just like not very nice to see some of this stuff. Yeah, not very nice to be working with that.
Very icky.
But yeah, like if it was, as in if someone approached me and was like, my dying wish is to have this, then I'd probably think about it. But on the whole, the answer is no. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Would you go to the police?
Police. The only reason I'm saying yes is actually not really because I care about this thing circulating. It's more because of the novelty of it all happening. I would document the fuck out of it. I would go to the BBC and ask if I can make a documentary out of it. And I would raise as much awareness as possible about the problem that it is causing and the process itself, and probably raise awareness of how shit the process is of going to the police. So that's why I said yes.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Because, like, I would say yes, but because I don't really know what else to do. Like, until we have an established body that can, like, help people through these kinds of things, which I don't really know if there is in the UK. There's pockets of it here in the US, but, like, it's not massively formalised. So what do you do? Well, go to the police, and then they might even just be like, well, this isn't technically illegal right now, depending on what state or country you're in or whatever it is. And then also I think there probably is the same sort of victim blaming culture of like what sexual assault looks like. Like, I wouldn't be at all surprised if a deepfake porn victim was treated with the same sort of
absolutely.
So I don't know, that's kind of depressing, but let's see what happens. Maybe these things will become more formalized.
That was a super interesting chat. Thank you for imparting with all of that knowledge.
No, thank you. And I mean, is anyone still here? Drop us a like and a comment. Don't subscribe, I'm not going to post anything. Don't subscribe. Yeah,
don't bother. But yeah, if you have any questions as well, you know where to find us on Instagram. We are still the same handles, at Sarah B, at Muvitara. If you want to ask us any questions, you know where we are.
Yes. And how do we used to close these things? I don't know. I guess we just say bye.
Just bye, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you for listening. We love you all.
Thanks.
Bye.